Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have the most fabulous guest here today. I am so excited, Danielle Prowse, and she is a member of the HAL Group, and we are so excited to have her and ready to hear all about what she's been up to and what's going on. So I've got several things, rapid fire, I think, that I'm gonna hit you with. Since you've been doing real estate, in fact, let's back up. How long have you been doing real estate?
I got licensed in September of 2019.
Oh, wow. So I think you're the first person that actually gave it a month. So that's pretty cool.
Only because my license is expiring. So I know that it's the month.
Okay, I love that. Okay, that's kind of perfect. Yeah. I love that answer because that's very realtor of you.
Yeah. So I'm like, how many classes do
exactly.
we need?
But that's a long time. So basically, I mean, almost 9 years, if I did the math right. Did you say 2017?
19.
Oh, 19. Okay, then I'm deaf and I can't do math. So, or, you know, both. Or either. So you've been doing it almost 7 years.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me, since you've been doing it almost 7 years, I know you've got some younger kids. How have you balanced having younger kids with real estate? Because I know I've been doing it a long time, 35 you know, years-ish, and I've raised a family. My kids are grown now, but at one point I was in your shoes, and I'm so curious to know, how do you try and balance that?
It's really hard.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so glad you said that. I'm really glad you said that, because I think a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, I've got this plate spinning over here, and I just, you know, it's kind of like that Anjali commercial from many years ago. You're too young to remember it, but it's like, you know, I'll make the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and whatever, never forget you or a man or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is, it is hard. And so tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, daycare is my best friend.
No.
Great relationship with everybody
no,
there.
No, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I put the kids in school Monday through Thursday, and it's necessary in this industry. I tried to keep my youngest home with me for like 6 months to a year.
Sure.
And I mean, they need so much. They need your attention. They need you to be engaged with them. And I felt like
absent.
I felt absent. And I felt like it was a disservice to my kids to try to work while they were here with me.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I really, really do. And I think that in many ways people say, oh, you know, you put your kids in daycare, but it's like, yeah, but at least in a daycare, people are engaging and there's other kids and you're socializing and there's things that they're learning in that way that they wouldn't learn at home. And so I feel like even though, yes, Do we want to be with our kids all the time? Yeah, and ideally, but when we're working, sometimes we have to make sacrifices, and then we have to look at what is in the best interest of the kids, not just in our best interest for how we need to go about our day, but what's going to be the most engaging thing, you know, for them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they have developed great relationships there, and everybody at the daycare knows who we are. Everybody knows who our kids are.
Yeah.
It's just been such a good thing
for
everybody.
No, I love that you said that, because growing up, my kids, all three of them, had the most amazing people that were in their lives that were, and it wasn't the same person. It was different people, but I really feel like I had excellent caregivers. And for that, I feel like they were part of the team, if you will. And so I felt like they were getting a different perspective. And so it was kind of nice that I could share with them what I did. You know, again, I think the parents play a role, but the caregivers also kind of help form, you know, who they are as people. And especially if you feel good about them, I think it's nice for them to be a little more well-rounded and experience life from just other than the parents, you know, because again, that's not what life is. You have to learn to get along with others, especially in real estate.
Oh yes. Yeah. And it's a little Christian school. So she gets some like faith-based stuff too.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
So you have a little bit. Yeah. So it's a little more well-rounded kind of, you're getting a little bit of everything, including life skills. Like you said, some of the other faith-based stuff. So I love that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm loving your answer. So I'm going to now hit you with, what is your favorite feature in a house?
I think my favorite feature is a backyard. And
okay.
I am very partial to like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s houses.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You are my spirit animal. I love that. I feel the same way.
I want interesting architecture. I want big trees, green grass, mature landscaping.
Oh wow. You are surprising me.
I want to not see my neighbors.
Oh my gosh. You are really surprising me with that answer. I would not have predicted that you were going to say that. And I love that answer because to me, we're in Texas, especially San Antonio, and so much of our living time is spent outside. And so I do think the backyard is super important. And I'm very surprised. I would not have guessed that you were going to say that. So
what do you think I would say?
You know, I figured you were going to give a more, typical answer of like kitchen or something like that, you know, because let's face it. In fact, let's talk about kitchens. I mean, a kitchen is, I think for a lot of clients, it is the most important or one of the most important features or rooms in the house. And so, I mean, what do you feel about that? I mean, what do you think in your case, how many of your clients do you feel like what is their most important feature?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think kitchen does tend to be the most important, and that's just because everybody always congregates there.
Yes.
So yes. It's more of like you've got your curb appeal as your first visual, and then the second real visual that sticks with people, I think, are the kitchens.
Yeah.
So you want that space that you're bringing people into to represent you.
100%. No, absolutely. So I kind of thought in my mind that you would go down that path, but no, I love the backyard. I mean, I think that again, especially in San Antonio, because we do spend so much of our time outside, I think even though it's hot a lot of the time, I still feel like that's a very important feature. So, okay.
And with little kids. Because
well, that's true.
I got to be able to.
Absolutely. And probably a lot of the people that you're showing also probably care about that as well, depending on, you know, where they are in life. I've got a question for you about kitchens, though.
Okay.
Of the people that you're showing, the buyers that you've been showing and selling, how many of them that care about the kitchen, that they tell you, hey, the kitchen is my most important, you know, feature or room of the house? How many of those clients actually cook?
Okay, so the ones that really care about the kitchen, I do think primarily cook. And those are going to be the people that need gas.
Okay.
Those are the people that are cooking all the time.
Okay.
Or if you have specific dietary restrictions.
Okay, that's so true.
You know, some of my best clients are vegan, so kitchen's very important.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't even think about going down that path about, you know, people that have special dietary needs, that they would have to have a good kitchen in order to provide that kind of a, you know, situation for their family.
Yeah, they need like prep space and additional storage and, you know, all of those things, especially if you do have dietary restrictions, it's not as easy to go out to eat.
Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I do feel like the people that in my client base that really care about cooking, they want gas. Mm-hmm. They feel like it's the most, you know, I think authentic or whatever you want to call it. I mean, what's your feelings on that?
Yeah, so I hear that a lot. I've been hearing a lot about induction, though, as the new thing that people are interested in.
Really? Okay.
And I'm wondering, because I know there was a lot of negative, publicity about gas in California. So there was a big push about that. And I noticed at that time, that's kind of when we started seeing the fireplace inspection correlation here.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah. So that all happened within a short period of time.
Yeah.
And so I've had more people ask about induction since then.
Yeah.
And that's been the last 2 to 3 years.
Wow. I think you're kind of an old soul. I mean, seriously, some of the things that you're talking about, I mean, most younger agents, I don't really hear that from them. So very, very impressed. I mean, you know, you're doing some deeper dives than I thought you were going to do, you know, on these topics. So very, yeah, I love
it.
Very
curious. Yeah. I like to know things.
Yeah, apparently. Because like I said, a lot of people are like, I don't know. Or should I say not a lot of people, a lot of agents. So, okay. So what is, besides your favorite feature, what do you think that you've had in the way of clients tell you that they didn't buy a house for this particular reason? Like, what is a common thing where people come to you and say, okay, I don't want this house, and you thought it was perfect for them, but they changed their mind because of some feature that was like what? You're surprised by what they said. Have there been any of those?
Yes. Oh, okay. My gosh, so many. So I've kind of just come to the realization that I'm never going to be able to guess what house my buyer is going to buy. Because every house, I'm like, this is it. This is the one. It is absolutely not that house.
No, you know what? You're every right.
Time. Every time. And so often they buy houses. I'm like, there's no way I thought you would buy this one. But
yeah. Do you know what? That is, wow, 7 years in, I can't believe you've already come to that conclusion because.
Oh, yeah. I'm wrong.
I know. And I'm wrong a lot too. And I just thought, oh, I thought I knew these people. I'm like, you're going to buy this house. And then they buy the complete opposite of that.
Yeah. 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 So driveways, that's been the recent one. People don't want to buy houses based off of driveways. It makes sense. You know, if you've got a truck and it's a side entry and it's not wide enough.
Yes.
If yes. it's the double doors, people yes. hate that.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
right. I have a double door and I hate it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because a lot of the vehicles, especially our trucks here in Texas, mm-hmm. they're very wide and they can't get through those narrow single door situations.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
So that is becoming... That's a thing right now
okay.
for me.
Okay. No. Interesting. Have you ever had a client that didn't buy a home because of the primary closet?
No, I didn't have that.
Okay.
But I one time found a dead bird in a primary closet. So
oh, you're kidding me.
Nope. So
oh
that
my
was
gosh.
Wild.
That is wild. Was it occupied or vacant?
It was vacant. And I think, so the closet, the pull-down access was in the primary. And so I'm suspecting the bird got in the attic and then came down somehow. Like it was, the pull-down was open.
Oh, wow.
And got stuck in the house.
So oh, my gosh.
It's kind of sad.
Oh, that is. Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't like yeah. that. Yeah, no, I haven't had that happen. But I can see where it would happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would make me kind of sad, too.
But so. The clients did not buy that house.
Okay.
So it could have been the bird. It could have been the closet. I don't know yeah. what it was.
they were traumatized in general. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of being traumatized, have you ever been in a situation in real estate where you were afraid? Have you ever yes. kind of experienced that kind of thing?
Yes. So I always, this is terrible, but I leave the key in the front door so okay. I don't lose it because you got so many things going on. You've
sure.
got lights and people.
Sure.
And
you don't want to set it down or
yeah.
put it somewhere where all of a sudden it's a busy granite surface and you set the key down, you can't see the key anymore.
Yep,
you know,
drop it down between the decks.
Yes.
That's my
or something.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
one of my
no,
biggest irrational fears.
No, absolutely.
So I do. I always leave the key in the door.
Sure.
And I was near downtown. And it was, you know, one of those, like, I can't remember what street it was, but one of those up and comings that have been up and coming my whole life type
sure.
of streets.
Sure.
And somebody walked in and it was like a homeless person walked in and I was in the house by myself. I was doing a FaceTime tour. And so that was really scary. I was like, you gotta go. And thankfully he did. He walked right out. But it was really scary.
Oh my gosh, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything like that happen. So that is like, oh yeah. my gosh. No, it's funny that you mentioned you were doing FaceTime mm-hmm. while you were in the house. I have, and I think Lupus Thunder, aka Matt Stigliano, he already knows where I'm going with this story. I was doing a FaceTime, and I think there were a lot of years, and we still do it now, of course, all the time. But in the beginning, where it was kind of the start of when you FaceTimed with clients, you know, especially during COVID, mm-hmm. we FaceTimed a lot because they weren't always able to be there physically. And so I was in a house. I was actually in, I remember the house. It was in Canyon Springs. And so I was working with a transferee. They were they worked for Whataburger Corporation. And so they weren't actually physically able to see the house. They weren't in town. So I was doing all of my previews, you know, from just FaceTime. And so I had been through the whole house. I was showing them on FaceTime. And so I was showing them in Canyon Springs. It was a one-story house, and I'm showing them. And what I didn't know, because when you're focused on FaceTime, you know how you're looking through, you're looking at what you're showing them. And I was looking into the garage. And so what I didn't realize is when you stepped out of this one garage, there were steps down to get to the laundry room. And so it was on a different level than the garage was. And so I'm showing them, and I take a step. And as I take a step, and I'm talking to them, and I've probably been on the phone with them maybe 15, 20 minutes. And so what I'm doing is just, again, we're talking about every feature. I was kind of wrapping up toward the end. I'd seen most of the house. And as I stepped, I didn't know that there were concrete steps down. And I literally, as I'm videoing, fell down the stairs, and they heard me and watched. You know, the camera's going crazy as I'm going down the stairs. And so boom, 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 I mean, hitting all the way down. And they can hear the noises that I'm making as different areas of my body are being impacted. Oh, so literally, I hit so hard, and it was a concrete landing. And so I literally hit, and my phone flew out of my hand. And at that point, obviously, it's still shooting the video, but it's shooting like up at the ceiling. But they're like, "Are you okay, Kim?" They're saying, you know, "Are you okay?" I'm so stunned that I can't speak.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
It knocked the wind out of me, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm just laying there, and I can hear them talking, but you know, you're just like, I'm processing. I'm like, I'm hurt, and I'm like, I'm not sure what's happening right now. So eventually, it took me a while to regain my composure to be able to like crawl over to my phone. And I'm like, "I'm okay. I've just fallen down." And I don't remember, did we have this on? We have a lot of it on, I think, on video. I mean, because it was still going. I mean, it was still going. And so anyway, I'm just like, "No, I'm okay. But I've fallen." I said there were some stairs. I didn't see that there are a set of stairs, you know, out of the garage. And so anyway, they're like, "Oh my gosh, do we call 911? What do we do?" You know, I'm like, "No, I'm okay. I just need to think about things for a minute. You know, I just need to process it." So I totally relate to what you're saying about doing, because there was a time when we were doing a lot of FaceTime. And I mean, I'll still do FaceTime for clients, but it's not as common as it was there for, a stint. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I do it for my out of town people because it just makes more sense, you know, especially if you're not going to, if you're coming in from Austin or Houston or whatever, let me just go pop down there for 10 minutes and do a quick little thing for you.
Okay. Have you ever had a client, since obviously you've done a lot of FaceTime, have you ever had a client that bought a house without seeing it first? Just based off FaceTime and based off, you know, the still shots, obviously, that they saw online?
Not me personally,
okay. But
I have sold a listing with an agent who just sold off of FaceTime and pictures.
Okay.
And that was stressful. That was during COVID.
Yes. And, it is stressful, isn't it?
Yes. We were nervous. But that agent was awesome.
Awesome. Okay.
It was in Austin. She is, she's still one of my referring partners now. So she just did a great job with it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. So it worked out. But that was really stressful.
Yes.
And this was at the very beginning of COVID, when prices were going down, not up.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Because initially everything tanked.
Mm-hmm.
That was the time to buy.
Mm,
you know what
was.
I mean? When everything tanked and we were all like, "Oh my gosh, what's happening to our world?" You know? And little did we know it was going to tank and then it was going to like skyrocket, you know? So very interesting. I did not know that. So very good to know. Okay. So what home feature do you think that has been popular in the past that is not really as popular anymore? Can you think of anything?
Definitely the formal sitting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's actually what I was thinking as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't know what to do with that space. Although I do think, because we've had such an evolution in the last 10 years. I mean, just since I've been licensed, the changes.
No, you're right.
Because everybody wanted the open floor plan.
Yes.
And then COVID.
Yeah.
And then nobody wanted that because you can hear your kids all over the place.
Yes.
So they wanted like offices and closed floor plans.
100%.
So I think, you know, I've noticed from my buyers and sellers, it's a bit of a mixed right now. If you have a formal sitting and have made it a useful space, it still makes sense to a future buyer.
Sure.
But if it's just a like your playroom space, I think buyers have a hard time visualizing what to do with it.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. I think the formal living is definitely kind of a museum room now, you know, and most people, although they may turn it into an office.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've seen that, right? Just because people work from home more now than they used to because of COVID. But I think that there's also just a different dynamic, even with the formal dining.
Yes. Yes. I have noticed that too. People prefer maybe just like a bigger breakfast area or a bar that they can sit at for something more casual.
Exactly. Exactly. You just don't see as many people unless they've got grandma's table that they've had handed down to them for several generations. And they're like, okay, I've got to have a place to put this. And so I think those clients, I will have them ask for a special formal dining. But I think for the most part, even new home construction, you've really seen them kind of get away from the formal dining room. You will have one eating space, but you might have a more casual space in addition to the one room for eating. You might have, like you said, a kitchen island that has a bunch of bar stools that's a more casual kind of hangout. Because like you said in the very beginning of the podcast, people like to use the kitchen to congregate. So I do feel like that that's a very, I think, important thing for people, because people want to have a nice space wherever people are going to gather and be around and converse and that kind of thing. So I do think that that's kind of an important thing in real estate. So, okay. So have you, having had younger kids, when you are showing clients, have you ever had a lot of clients bring their kids with them to showings?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I want to know about that.
Before I had kids, it was the worst. Oh, my gosh. I just, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. And, you know, having conversations with five-year-olds, and I'm like, I just, but anyway, I'm here. I'm in the thick of it. I love kids now. I'm a lot better.
Yes.
But at one time, I had some out-of-town buyers, and they had their son and daughter. The daughter was maybe four. And we went upstairs to go see a primary bathroom, and she screams at the top of her lungs. And this is before I'd had kids. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Calgon, and the mom is
just, you know, like, whatever. And, yeah, you know, you just get used to it, I think. I think there's a certain level that you get used to.
Yes. You start kind of leaving your body and you're starting to, you know.
You know how to, like, have a conversation while somebody else is screaming. Yeah. But at the time, I did not have that skill. And that was a very stressful week for me.
Yes. Yes. No, I can imagine. And I've definitely had, I mean, I've been in real estate because I started when I was in my teens working for my dad. I didn't have kids at that time, but my exposure to kids was very different back then because it was a different time. And I feel like people were very, they disciplinarian with their kids. Yeah. And so I didn't really see kids run amok back then. But by the time I actually had my license, I took all the classes in the 80s. I feel like people were still in more control of their kids than I think they are now. And so by the time I was actually showing people and they brought their kids, I already had my own kids. So I understood what it was like to have to manage kids, you know. But I do feel like sometimes people let their kids just run amok.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Remember one time showing a rental property, and it was in the Babcock Townhomes?
Yes.
Yeah. So
know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they're older, built in the 70s. There was this iron railing, kind of like a Juliet balcony in the back. And I'm watching.
I can't believe you even know what that's called. I mean, I know what that's called, but I wouldn't think that you would know that. But that's very cool. Yes. Well, you're a reader and an observer. So,
Well, these kids are like trying to climb over it. And the parents are just, I don't know. I don't know where. I'm like, nope, get down, stop that.
No, for sure. For sure.
So
no.
Scary.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've had that happen. Okay. Final question for you. How helpful do you feel like it is to advertise properties on social media? What role do you think social media plays in real estate?
So I think it's really important. I do think advertising on social media is important, with the huge caveat of not all of your realtors are influencers. So that's something that I think has gotten to be an expectation, that a realtor is also an influencer. And I personally hate social media.
Right.
So,
you
know, that's been a big like area of weakness for me. I don't have 10,000 followers. So if I post something on social media, it's not necessarily going to reach the masses.
Sure.
But Zillow and Realtor have been really good tools. And when you put an open house or, you know, information about a property on that, on those platforms, then it gets pushed out to everybody else.
No.
So absolutely, social media has a place. I'm going to go and say I'm not an influencer, though.
Right, right. But I agree with you. I think it has a role to play. I think it is an important piece. But I don't think it's the do-all, be-all that, like you said, I don't think to be a good realtor that you need to be an influencer. I just don't think they're the same. I think some, and I love that you're saying that, because I think a lot of the people your age may have that expectation, but I don't think that that really translates necessarily into selling homes.
Yeah, there are a couple of agents that I follow on social that are really good here in town, and they do really good like property tours. One of them calls it like an open house, and then another one just goes and picks different like unique architecture.
Sure.
And I think those videos are great. I think those agents probably do get social media leads. You know, who knows how those end up closing?
They get leads, but do they sell the house that they're promoting? And that's, to me, our fiduciaries to our client. And so, again, I think it's great that they are getting additional leads for their business, but are they actually selling the house that they're attempting to sell?
Right.
So I do think that there's a difference there. And I think that, you know, again, everything has a role and a place. So,
cool. Yeah, I mean, and I let those agents, hey, you guys can be the influencers. Just bring me a buyer.
Exactly. Well, you have been an amazing guest. This has been so fun. And you have surprised me in so many ways. I mean, you are, like I said, old beyond your years in the best possible way.
Thank you.
So now,
hopefully young looking still.
You look like you're 15.
Well,
so,
thank you.
I'm thinking you're the Doogie Howser of real estate. So what can I say? You know, no, you look very young, but like I said, you are definitely wise beyond your years. We just finished the actual main portion of the episode. Now we are going to do the feral or fabulous part of the podcast. If you would like to grab your paddle there.
Okay.
I've got a few things to ask you about, and I'm so curious. You were cool as a cucumber during the main portion of the podcast, so you surprised me. You're such an old soul. You know so much more than I would have ever guessed that you knew at your age, and again, like I was saying earlier, you look like you're 15. So, but I mean, obviously, you have years of experience. You're very successful in real estate, and we're so excited to have you on the team. But I want to try and see what your thoughts are on some of these topics that may or may not surprise you.
Okay.
Charcuterie.
Ooh.
Me too. I love charcuterie. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I have to give a plug to the Board Couple because they have the most amazing, oh my gosh, amazing charcuterie. And for years we've been doing, we do it a lot of times as closing gifts. And again, I had worked with McNair Custom Homes for many years, and we would deliver charcuterie on a nice custom board. And they did such a great job with the charcuterie. And
oh,
so
beautiful.
What's your favorite thing on a charcuterie board?
Okay, so the aesthetics, I think, are what gets me.
Yes.
You eat
me
with your
too.
Eyes.
I'm like a kid in a candy store, right? Literally.
Like all their pretty flowers that they put in there, and then they fold the salami,
yes,
or whatever, the prosciutto.
Exactly. And everything's so visually perfect.
And the figs and, the honeycomb that they put in there. They put like actual honeycomb.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
Yes, I totally agree, and I love honey. So for me, it's the nuts, it's the little chocolates, it's like you said, it's all of that stuff, that the cheeses, the little cracker, everything. It's just so delicious. Now I can polish off a charcuterie board by myself, sadly. So yeah, no, I'm
it's
with you.
It's an adult Lunchable.
It is. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've never heard that. I love that. I will be using that from now on. That is actually the perfect description of a charcuterie board. So, okay. Next one is a wax museum.
Definitely feral.
Oh, me too. Like,
creepy.
Okay. Yes, creepy.
Creepy.
No, me too. I feel the same way. Two for two. I feel the exact same way. It's kind of a little weird.
It's like, I don't know, the eyes, they look dead. It's just something.
Because they are.
I mean, they are.
You know,
but.
I know. It's like you're dead to me. Well, you are. You are dead. So I just, it's like a wax figure.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm a little creeped out by wax museums. So, okay. Miniature golf.
Okay, so it's both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of, yeah.
I am not athletic, like, at all. And okay. And hand-eye coordinate, no, it doesn't. So.
Understand.
I'm here for the drinks, and I'm here I'm here for the people. And
yes, for the social
yes,
aspect.
Yeah.
Me too, yeah. 100%. That's the only side of miniature golf that I actually like, is the socialization. But the actual hitting of the little ball through the windmill as the thing is going around, I am so annoyed by that.
Yeah, now, it makes me sweaty and, like, anxious.
No,
and
it makes me want to take the club and just literally destroy the whole windmill. I don't like it. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's annoying.
It's annoying.
So, yeah. I mean, made less annoying by tequila or whatever, but it's still annoying. So, no, I'm with you. Okay, we're very simpatico so far. I'm feeling very, very much the same. Okay, cold brew.
I gotta say Farrell. Farrell.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
I really like hot coffee. Like,
okay.
It can be 100 degrees out, but I want my coffee
hot. Oh my gosh.
My ice cold.
You know what? My husband's kind of the same. He kind of likes, and here's the thing. I love coffee. I can't drink the caffeine. I love the way it tastes. And cold brew, I love the way it tastes, but I can't handle the caffeine. And they don't have the ability to do, at least Starbucks doesn't. Starbucks can't do a cold brew that's decaf.
Interesting.
So from I love the flavor of coffee and hot coffee. Oh, I love coffee, but I can't drink it because it's just, and even decaf, although I will have decaf sometimes, even decaf has caffeine in it. And just in case y'all hadn't noticed, I'm a little high strung. And so I have a really hard time ingesting anything with caffeine and not being like a cat on a hot tin roof, like, you
know? Wow.
Yeah. So I love the taste, but I can't do it. But I'm with you. I see what you're saying. And I love a warm beverage. So I think that coffee, when I think about it, is I prefer it warm as well.
Yeah.
Even in the summer.
Yeah.
No. I'm the same way. And I don't like the heat. So, okay. Next one is reading. And it's so funny. I have said this so many times lately on the podcast. For whatever reason, and again, you guys don't even know what we're going to be talking about. And when I create these Feral or Fabulous, we have not had any discussion about it whatsoever. But you brought up, we talked about reading, and now I already kind of know you're a reader. But
I
so
am.
Tell me, I had no idea that you were going to start the podcast with that. So how do you feel about reading?
Fabulous.
Yes.
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 I'm a big reader. I am in two book clubs, one that we host at our house once a month.
Yeah.
And then there's a girls' book club. No boys allowed.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then in between, I'm always reading something. I don't know. I think we just, my husband's a big reader too. I don't know. I think we just consume a lot of literature.
It sounds like it. Well, that's why you're so intelligent and why you're such an old soul.
You.
Because you're constantly just like, you're voraciously reading through all kinds of information. And, you know, obviously you're retaining it as well. So, I'm telling you, I've witnessed it. So very, very impressive. So very cool. Okay. Last one, cooking lessons.
They could be fabulous.
Okay.
But I don't like to cook, so that's Feral.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Like, if you go to, like, what's that place, Sur La Table? You know, and you do the Sur La Table.
Sur La Table?
Table?
Is it? Sur La Table? Yeah. Isn't it? May I have to ask Matt?
She has the pronunciation right. You have the spelling right.
Okay.
It's French. So.
Okay. Okay.
Well, they have like a cooking class type of thing that you can do.
Okay.
And so that is very fun, but you have to pay for it. But you like cook and then you make a fancy meal and, you know, it's all in their test kitchen.
Okay.
But, you know, on my own, I like to do girl dinner, which is like just a handful of cheese.
I love that.
Couple peanuts and a handful of cheese.
I did not know that was the definition, yeah. But I will use that. Girl dinner. I love it,
yeah.
You know, because you know what? My husband would say that's exactly what, like, I love some cheese and some, well, it's like charcuterie. Exactly. It's like my own homemade charcuterie,
yeah.
You know?
So. I know. I just, I have other talents and cooking isn't one of them.
I love that. No, absolutely. So even if you had the time, because if you're in real estate, like I said, there's so little time, but even if you had the time, cooking is not your thing. Or would you change your mind on that if you had the time?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't want it to be my job in our house. So,
I get that.
You know, like,
yeah, if you're going to do it, it would be something that you should be able to do not under duress.
Yeah.
And so that you weren't trying to get food out on the table for your family. You wanted to create a meal that would be fun and enjoyable. But that's different than when you're providing just, you know, nutrition for your family.
That they want to eat anyway.
Are your kids picky?
Yes. Okay. They're toddlers, so.
Okay. No, I get that. Are you a picky eater?
No. That being said, I have some significant trauma. My mom is like super healthy, and I swear to God, she made us eat salad 3 meals a day for almost my whole life.
Really?
And now I'm like, I don't want to eat a vegetable. I don't want to do it.
I love that. Yeah, no, I do think sometimes growing up, what we are forced to have, we reject in later adulthood. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
My dad was so on steak. If we ever ordered a steak or if we had steak at home, we had to have it either medium rare or above. Mm. We had no options. Like, it was medium rare is the most cooked you could have. Or you could have rare or you could spank it. I mean, that's about it. But I mean, I have to have it well done. And so for me as a kid, I couldn't eat it. I just wouldn't do it. And so now, whenever we go to a steak restaurant, I proudly order medium well to well done. And of course you can always see the server go like, they're like freaking out over me ordering it that way. And I apologize to the chef. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I just can't do it. You know, the way I know everybody else feels like it's best served. And so I do relate to that, because I think sometimes the trauma that we have as kids, we do reject, you know, in later life. So.
Yeah. And I recognize I need to, you know, grow up a little bit on that one.
Well,
you know, eat some more vegetables.
I'm old and I haven't grown up yet. So what can I say? Sometimes we never grow up and we never grow out of that weirdness, you know. So anyway, well, this has been so fun. I really appreciate you joining us for Feral or Fabulous.
And thank you for having
me. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Feral and or Fabulous. Bye.